Thank you, Vanessa. I hope that you've managed to keep your Bible open, and we're going to look at those two passages this morning. So that's Revelation 2, 8 to 13, and Revelation 3, 7 to 13. But before we do that, let's have a word of prayer. Father God, we thank you for this time of coming to you through your word. We ask that you will speak to us now, that we will hear you and see you through it. We ask this in your name. Amen. I have a Christian friend. I have to tell you, I haven't seen her for many years. But I always remember when we were studying Revelations as youngsters, she said, "I can't do it. I can't come to any more of these meetings and hear all about this doom and gloom." So when Dave said to me that we were going to do Revelations, that was the first thing that came to my mind. But it's not doom and gloom. But I'm going to ask you a question this morning. I'd like you to think about it. And if you've got some questions afterwards, then I'd love you to chat to me about it. Or Dave. How well would you say that you deal with persecution and tribulation? If I were to ask each one of you individually what season of life you thought you were in today, would it be, "Things are going great, I'm just loving life, every day is a wonderful surprise"? Or might it be, "Actually, I'm struggling currently. Life is really hard. There's so much that's wrong in my life at the moment"? Or maybe it's something in between. Well, I'm sorry to tell you this, but God never promises us as a believer that life is going to always be fun. He never promises us that life is just going to be great. As a matter of fact, what he does promise is that if we are a true believer, we will face suffering and some persecution in our life. So it's not a question of, will you suffer? The question is, how will you handle it when it comes? I would be the first to admit that I don't like to suffer any more than I like it when life gets hard. My human flesh cries out with everything it can to avoid such troubles. But if we're really serious about going deeper in our faith, suffering is part of the process. Every time that God has taken me through a difficult period of my life, whether it's just been a trial or suffering, I can say, I promise you this, that I've looked back and I've said, "Yes, Lord, I can see how you use that in my life." And I've also been able to say, "Thank you." But in the process, when I'm in the middle of it, it's hard to find joy in why he has me there. But I believe he casts us into the fires of trial in order to refine us and strengthen our character. We need to look beyond the trial. We need to look beyond the pain and look for that purpose that he wants to accomplish in our lives. We need to look for that end result. We will suffer in this life. The Bible tells us that. The challenge for us is to suffer well. So, okay, having got that out of the way and made you feel so much better, I can see it on your faces, Let's look at these passages where Jesus shows us the character of God. Jesus loves the church and its people, especially when they're faithful under duress, and he encourages them to keep going. We are told that to truly follow Jesus in this life will bring much trial and persecution, because the world does not know Jesus. And Jesus said himself that if the world hated him, then the world will also hate those who follow him. Matthew wrote, chapter 5, verse 10, "Blessed are those which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Now you may ask the question, why does God allow persecution to happen to his people? But as I said earlier, I believe that it's probably as a means of strengthening and proving the genuineness of their and our faith. And though Satan may rage against the church, God's hand accomplishes his purposes. Jesus gives a promise to those who are faithful, even to the point of death. He says to those who overcome that they will receive the crown of life. Imagine that. And also that we will not be hurt by the second death, which is, of course, the reward of eternal life in glory with him. Yet we know there are attacks on Christians and churches around the world today. Persecution is very real. Nor should we be surprised. Jesus taught his disciples, "If they persecute me, they will persecute you also." And Paul told the young church leader Timothy, "Everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." We therefore need to take the words of these letters seriously. But there is much encouragement in them for all Christians who are feeling persecuted or going through trials, not just because it's still relevant, but because John is reporting the actual words of the risen Jesus Christ. These words form the letters from Jesus himself, and they are full of encouragement and love and understanding and ways in which we can see how to cope when we're finding life really difficult. If you're hard-pressed and someone's got something to say to you, then you need to know who they are and what qualifies them to speak. Before going to them and before acknowledging that there's any credence in what they may have to say. But when the risen Jesus speaks, you listen, or you should. His qualifications are unimpeachable. At the start of each of these letters, he introduces himself with information that's specifically or especially relevant for the immediate situation. Take a look in chapter 2, verse 8, and also chapter 3, verse 7. Both of the letters start, "To the angel." Don't be distracted by the angel. This is a message spoken directly to believers. And Jesus is re-emphasizing significant things about himself. He is holy. That is, what he does is right. He is true. That is, what he says is right. He is in control. That is, the way to heaven is through him. And he is invincible. That is, no one is stronger than him. What Jesus says, that he is holy and true, is establishing again his divine character, because these things are only totally true of God himself. But Jesus is God. And God says in Leviticus, I, the Lord your God, am holy. And the Bible also says, God is not a man that he should lie. And in Numbers, it says, the God of truth. So Jesus is saying, I am your God, and I'm holy, and I am true. The door that he opens and shuts is the door to heaven, the gateway to eternal life and the presence of God, to the new creation, to paradise. The way to heaven is through Jesus and Jesus alone. And when Jesus says that what he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open, he is reassuring all hard-pressed Christians that whatever rebellions there might be against his rule, no one and nothing will ever stop him. What he decides goes. When he decides to act, no one will be able to stand in his way. And that's what we need to know, isn't it? When the going is tough and it doesn't look or feel as if Jesus is in control. The truth, the absolute truth, is that he is a supreme, invincible, immovable power. As the psalm says, one thing God has spoken, two things I have heard, that thou, O God, art strong, and that you, O Lord, are loving. Jesus is God, and Jesus not only cares about his hurting people, he is also strong enough to give them the help they need in the face of any enemy. This is Jesus showing us the character of God. That's something we really need to take to heart. We've already seen how Jesus describes himself as holy and true. What he does is right. What he says is right. These people he is speaking to in these letters were no doubt far from perfect, but that goes without saying. Nonetheless, the words of Jesus indicate that he is very much reflecting his own character. What he is commending them for is their willingness in standing strong for what is right, and how they remain obedient to his commands and are undaunted through their trials, but remain faithful and strong by continuing to speak about him. Being on the end of encouragement when we're finding things hard, well, that's encouraging. Every bit of genuine encouragement enables us to keep on going that little bit longer. The great encourager for us, of course, is Jesus. And he communicates this to us today, just as he did to these churches that the letters were written to. Finally, we are to remember that What seems so hard to understand at the time is, nevertheless, all part of God's good and perfect plan. Hardship, persecution, suffering is a sign that God is working in our lives. The Bible tells us the Lord disciplines those he loves. And if you are faithful to God and his word, then as you've heard, Jesus said, I will give you the crown of life. And he who overcomes will not be hurt at all by the second death, that is hell. What Jesus is saying is that heaven awaits. So especially in times of hardship or persecution or suffering, remember heaven and God's ultimate plan. I must conclude. But may I do so with leaving you with five things to remember. Jesus is the ultimate victor. Suffering is the ultimate test. Satan is the ultimate enemy. Trust is the ultimate solution. Life is the ultimate reward. You know, none of us will probably be persecuted for our faith, or at least not suffer anything like the type of persecution that we've seen in these passages. Most of us will never die for our faith, and I truly hope that we don't. But we are going to experience suffering on this earth, without doubt, whether it's because of our faith or whether it's because he wants to deepen our faith. We will suffer. My prayer for us is that we would suffer well. But in the meantime, we should pay attention to those words. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Let me pray for us all. Father, I just thank you for the privilege of knowing you personally. Thank you for being that ultimate victor who won victory over death, so we might have life eternal. Thank you for the strength that you give us when our flesh does not have it. Father, I pray that we would be people who suffer well, who would please you in the way that we handle anything that comes our way. Be thou our vision. In Jesus' name, amen.